In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer.
Amen.
The Gospel today is part two of what we heard last week. And the little annotation at the beginning cues you into that when Jesus had finished reading, etc. He is in Nazareth. He has gone back. The local boy has come home to great celebration. He goes to the synagogue, finds the place in Isaiah where it is written, "I've been anointed to preach good news to the poor," etc. And then sits down and says, "This scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And now we pick up with, as we would say, the rest of the story. He has spoken powerfully about caring for those in need, neighbors in the world, some close at hand, but intimating that that means people far away, people outside the circle, non-Jews. And so far, those words have been received pretty well, and things are going pretty well indeed for a while. But then Jesus challenges his listeners, his friends, his relatives and neighbors to really live into that message. And that is when things take a turn. A little bit of the scene behind the words, the context of where Jesus would have been and what was going on. Judaism in the period of Jesus' life, in the period of the Roman Empire, was actually a favored religion. The Romans had made peace with the Jews. One reason was that the Jews were very widespread in the empire. They were a large group of people. They had acquired wealth and prominence. Judaism was also, somewhat as it is today, an ethnic religion. You were born into it. You didn't join it. It was part of your cultural heritage and particularly your genetic lineage. So birth determined authenticity and Jewishness and defined the community somewhat exclusively. So the Jews were treated well. They were literate and persuasive, and they were also allowed to participate in their own calendar, have their own buildings, their own currency, their own judicial system, and they did not have to sacrifice to the emperor. They did not have to make that sign of Roman loyalty to Roman law. They were excused from that. And many times in Jesus' life, when that comes up, particularly at his trial, he would have been released if he had said, "Well, I am Jewish, as a matter of fact," and then that all bets would have been off. He would have been fine. He would have been restored to his people, but that's not what occurred. He said, "I am not from this kingdom, and this is not my world." So the synagogue at Nazareth would have been an influential, wealthy community. It would have been cozy and comfortable and somewhat self-serving. It was the group that met in that town regularly to take care of themselves. So when they hear Jesus' words of prophecy and anointment and challenge, at first they think, "Sounds good to us. Oh yes, we believe in all of that, Jesus. Gracious words from a really good guy who's one of us, here to keep us happy, to take care of us, keep us together, one of us." But wait a minute, they think, wait a minute. There's something, there's an edge to these words. There's something else in his message that he's not so shyly hinting at. But first, isn't this Joseph's son, a carpenter? Joseph's son, you know, a blue-collar guy, and you know, maybe not college, maybe an associate's degree, no rabbinical school for sure, you know that way that sometimes we shade people, we categorize them by their background or their education, rather than who they are, and then thinking, wait, this is Joseph's son. Where is he getting these? Is that not just the kid who grew up here? And in that one sentence, is not this Joseph's son? The first time they say it is, oh, is not this Joseph's son? The first time that comes up, the turning point is when they say, isn't this Joseph's son? With a little bit of gritted teeth. He really isn't one of us anymore. He's got these ideas. He's challenging us to be different and to go to those who are different from us. And Jesus says just that. I was not sent to take care of you only. I was sent to take care of others. I was sent so that you would care for others. I was not sent to heal you. I was sent so that you would heal others. I was not sent to set you free. I was sent so that you would set others free. And they don't like it one little bit. They don't like it at all. He's a threat. He has come to tell us that we're not measuring up as we should. He has come to us, he thinks he's larger than he is. He thinks he's a little too good for himself. And they threaten to kill him. Alice McKenzie writes, Jesus wrote a hard message on that synagogue's whiteboard, indeed. He gave them a history lesson in how God sometimes chooses other people to show mercy on. God sent Elijah to feed a non-Jewish widow in a time of famine. Why? Perhaps because she was willing first to share her bread with him. God sent Elisha to heal a non-Jewish leper, Naaman the Syrian. Why? Because Naaman was willing, although after some negotiations, he was willing to receive God's healing. They were livid when Jesus claims that the blessing he brings will go to others whom they disdain and not to the people in their town. He has told them the truth, which they didn't want to hear, and they didn't like the implication that they have no one else besides themselves to blame for their anger. All of the healing stories in the Gospels are all about encounters with relationships. All of the healing stories of Jesus are first about a relationship that Jesus builds with that person. The two stories that Jesus gives them as examples are relational stories between the person who can help and the person who is in need. Jesus sent his disciples to build those relationships. And that is what we here in our time and our place at St. Michael's must do a lot of thinking and praying about. How do we repurpose and redevelop and rebuild our community, building and people, to seek out and connect and bring into our fold those people with whom we wish to build new relationships? Relationships of good news and hope and sight and release. It's tough work. It upends things. The nature of the community changes. Who are members and who are not becomes, shall we say, fluid, because we are going to be gathering people together in our midst. Michael Kulikowski has written this in a book called Christians Were Strange. You can assure your friends you're a Christian and you're a little off-kilter, so that's all right. That's part of the religion, I think. You know, we're a little different there. But his book has a very interesting point, and that is Christianity grew, and I mean grew, like took off, precisely because it was not an ethnic religion. It welcomed everyone. You just joined, you see. You came. You were part of the community. And they healed and took care of everyone. They fed everyone. They buried everyone. They gave everyone safe haven. There were no labels attached. There were no checking cards at the door. Christianity did, but the empire couldn't, and to what some degree Judaism couldn't at that time. And that was to be welcoming and to build relationships with all. And he has written this about this account in Luke's Gospel. Today's account of the Lord's rejection is one of the sharpest rebukes found in Scripture. Ironically, the rejection occurs from within an assembly of worship. These don't seem to be bad people, but they are people who have made up their own agenda for what God is to do among them. And we, like every Christian generation, are called to ask ourselves what the gospel means in our time. And following Jesus' example, our own calling will always include reaching out to all others in need in the power and the wisdom of the Spirit that brings us to bear relationships with them. So I hope we would think about these things as we prepare for annual meeting next week. This, our 75th year of celebration, and I believe very strongly the year of decision making for St. Michael's Church. What is God calling us to do and be in our next 75 years? But more importantly, what do we have to do and be differently now? What no longer is Spirit-filled, and what could be Spirit-filled ways? Ways that we haven't thought of yet or seen. So that the Scripture can be fulfilled, can be righteously and gratefully fulfilled, not only in our hearing, but in the very walls of this church and this place. In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer.
Amen.